There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the T-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon, this is Don't Tread on America. Your host, you know, Don Q, let's go, come on. All right, guys, how's everybody doing out there today? It is Thursday, 4x4, 2-4. All right, 4-4-2-4. You understand? 4-4-2-4. Happy 4x4 day for those of you that own a 4x4. Stay dirty. All right. So, here we are, back again. Man. I got to tell you what, the news cycle has been very interesting lately since I've gotten back from vacation. I guess what's hard for me, and I talked about this on the last show, is trying to come up with content without trying to bite off of everybody else's rhyme. But I got to tell you, it's when it comes to, okay, if you live in Florida, if you live down south, you understand when it gets into this time of year, it's going to be warm or hot from this point forward until, you know, October for the most part. And, you know, like, for example, today I worked, got home from work. I went ahead and fertilized the yard, went ahead and I got a new weed eater. I need it. So I went ahead and did all that. And, you know, it's just, and then time gets away from me. I had to eat some lunch, and I was like, I'm trying not to fall asleep, and I'm falling asleep, and, you know, okay, it's 3:20 as I record this right now. 3:20? What the hell? Okay, bro, I got up at 12:30 this morning to go to work, all right? Forgive me. Got home at 10:30. I stopped at Lowe's, so I guess it was closer to 11, but nonetheless. And, you know, it's just hard. You know, I'm working all day. I don't have a job. For those of you that don't know me other than through this show, I don't have a job where I'm just sitting around not doing anything all day. I'm moving for the whole time I'm at work, so it's very hard to get on the phone and search stuff. So forgive me, for I have sinned and I stole this show from someone else. No, I'm joking. Forgive me for the fact that I am just a dude with a full-time job and a part-time podcast. I don't make a penny off of this show. So therefore, I try my best. And if you guys have any suggestions or any ideas or anything that's happening in your neck of the woods, whether it's in this country or beyond, guys, you can reach out to me. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker at Don't Tread on America. Now, granted, the Ticker Talker is mainly just for drink videos, and I had to go into the archives to make a drink today. If you're watching this on Rumble on Don't Tread on America TV, you'll see that I made me a nice Italian old fashioned. If you want to know how to make it, you can go on there and follow the recipe. Plus, I don't know how well you can see that, but I figured out how to make clear ice cubes. That's kind of cool. So, and also, guys, you can check me out at DontTreadOnAmerica.com, and the email address is donq@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. Also, we're on the Twitter X machine at dtom_1775. Guys, like I said, please reach out to me, because I can't find everything, okay? So, what we're going to talk about today, mind you, is basically the upcoming election is about 214 days away. And what, without saying the obvious things, what is probably the biggest, there's probably two main issues surrounding this upcoming election. And we'll get into all of that here in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to make sure we talk about our two sponsors. Of course, the DTOM store, guys. Don't forget, DTOM store, my creation, my ideas, t-shirts, different things, guys. Check that out. The link is on the podcast app. And once you're listening to this on DTOM store, you can click it. It takes you right there. You can use DTOM in the promo code. You get 10% off. But you already get free shipping. You can't do both. And honestly, free shipping is better off for you in that sense. And also, Reaper Apparel Company. Please check them out. ReaperApparelCo.com. I have one of their shirts and a hat right here. I've got a couple other shirts and hats. You've seen them. I've worn them on here. So check them out, guys. It's a cool new company. Use DTOM in the promo code. You get 10% off your purchase price there. That's ReaperApparelCo.com. Please check them out. Use promo code DTOM. And speaking of podcast, that's what this is, podcast apps. Excuse me. Make sure that you are following the show. You're subscribed. You're whatever the button is there. If you're on Apple or Spotify, if you could please leave a rating, that'd be greatly appreciated. And if you're watching this on Rumble TV at Don't Tread on America TV, make sure you're following the show, and make sure to give me a like, give me a thumbing and a liking. And if you're not watching this on Rumble, but you have a Rumble account and you're listening to this, go to Rumble, find Don't Tread on America TV, and follow the show anyway, please. It helps more than you. Those little things, following the show that you're already listening to, sharing the show that you're listening to, you obviously like it. Surely there's somebody in your life that needs to hear the things that I'm saying. Share that. Now, I'll be the first to admit it and tell you that not every show I do is 100%. I get that. I get it. You work, you get home from work. Imagine yourself. Imagine you working your job, whatever you do, and you work 8, 9, 10 hours a day, and you get home from work. Now, you got to spend a couple hours coming up with content, because I can do an hour show, but it takes probably about 2 or 3 hours of preparation of finding stuff, writing stuff down, putting it on the computer. It's not quite like that, okay? And then cracking open the mic, getting everything set up, making sure your sound's right, making sure everything's on the computer, and then doing the show. Then edit the show, which, mind you, I don't have a lot of editing. As you know, I record this video. There's no cuts. There's no edits. So I do try to limit any kind of editing to a minimum. I try not to mess up. And if I do mess up, you know what? I'm not perfect. But point being is this. You'll have to. I'm just a regular dude, just like everyone else that listens to the show. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. I'm just like you guys. There's nothing special about me. I've just decided to do this. Not just, it's been about 3 years now, but you know what I'm saying. And I'm not perfect. I don't have a production team. I don't have all this stuff. So if I have a hiccup here and there, you have to excuse me. But please, share this with your friends. And like I said, if you're watching this on Rumble, if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, leave a review. Give me some ideas. Give me some hints. You know, what I might be doing right or what I'm doing wrong. You know, I can take constructive criticism. I'm fine with that. Keep in mind, no degree in communications, no, didn't go to school to be a broadcaster, Just decided to do this one day, and here we are. So, speaking of that, the things that are going to keep people interested in this, or I shouldn't say that are going to keep them interested, but things that will decide this election. And I'm going to probably, this will probably be a situation, this will be something that we talk about periodically from now until then. And it'll be the election, not necessarily the same subject, but just things that have come into my head and out of curiosity, why, or I shouldn't say why, but what is going to happen? You have 204, I think it's 214 days. So that's roughly, what are we, we're in April, right? So May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So today's the 4th. I don't know exactly the day of election. So it's usually around the 4th, 5th, 6th, somewhere around there of November. So we're literally at about the 7-month point right now. So in 7 months, what's going to happen? You have two people running for president. I mean, I guess technically you have three. And I don't want to get a whole bunch into RFKJ yet because I have some things that are circulating in my head about him and what his role is in all of this. But the two main players, we'll call it that, being Biden, our current president, and Trump, our former president. So I would say the best thing about these two individuals running is this. You have a track record for both people. And what I mean by that is this. Through my history, okay, I've been consciously aware of presidents since Reagan. Now, I know there's been presidents before Reagan, and I was still alive. So it would have been, what, Carter and I think Ford, because I was born in 73. I don't remember anything about those two being president. And I don't remember a whole lot about Reagan's beginning of his presidency. And I recall him being shot and that kind of stuff. And that was at the beginning, but latter parts, and then Bush and so on and so forth. But we've never had a situation in current history. And in all honesty, I can't recall this ever happening ever. And I'm pretty sure it's never happened, so I should just say that. But where a president who was president for 4 years, lost, and then 4 years later ran again and won. We've never seen that happen. And as a matter of fact, I don't even know that any president that's done one term that lost has ran again. I don't think that's ever happened. I think a lot of times you see it, okay, I did my 4 years, so-and-so beat me, I'm good. I'm an ex-president, I'm fine with that. Trump's a different animal. He's built differently, as the kids say. Right? So, number one, you have to ask the question, why is Trump running? Like, if it were me, it would be very hard. Like, in all honesty, I think all his woes would disappear if he were not running. And I think I've said this before, that if he was not running for president, Georgia wouldn't be going after him. The dude, you know, Jack Smith wouldn't be going after him. The document situation, situation in D.C., none of this would be happening. This is all, in my opinion, is all because of him running against Biden, and whether Biden himself ordered the DOJ to go after him, or it's just the deep state or the swamp or the whoever's that are doing this. And even if they know there's nothing there, I don't think it's about that. I don't think, in all honesty, I don't think it has anything to do with them hoping that he's going to get convicted of something and go to jail. I think the main purpose of all this is to preoccupy him, whether it's to break him, you know, financially, tie up his money. I think that was the whole thing in New York, the 470 whatever million dollars. That would have taken a big chunk out of his being able to run for president money. Now, mind you, the RNC just reported yesterday that they fundraised last month $66 million, so he probably would have been okay. But nonetheless, you have God, dog, that's a good – I forgot how good that drink was. You have the situation in Georgia, where that's a criminal situation. So they're trying to, you know, maybe get him guilty of something. But I think it's more of a waste of time to preoccupy his time. That's my personal opinion. But never have we had a situation where you have a president that's running for re-election in Biden. We have his track record. We know, you know, the past 3 years, we know what things have been like in this country. Okay? Prior to him, we had Donald Trump. And if you just take his first 3 years and drop off that last, well, Don, you can't drop off the last year he was president. Okay, but those were extenuating circumstances with the pandemic and the COVID-19 situation, which in now, excuse me, now that we're 4 years past that, you have to admit at this point that it in itself was kind of fishy, because as time has progressed and we're well past COVID, even though it's still around, and granted, you guys can't watch, if you're not watching me on Rumble, you can't see me making the funny faces and all the quotation marks. But nonetheless, words were going to be said here, and I forgot what I was going to say. No. I think my personal opinion on that whole situation was they took something that was identical to the flu, and they ran with it, made everyone scared shitless, and stole an election. That's my opinion. Whatever. It's my opinion. I don't have proof, and I'll be the first to admit it. It's my opinion. I can have the opinion that something wasn't right in that whole situation. You guys can agree, you can disagree, and then we can agree to disagree, because it's my opinion versus anyone else's opinion. I would assume that if you're listening to this show, you kind of agree with me. Anyway, point being, if you take Trump's 3 years, first 3 years, you take Biden's first 3 years, okay? You look at the things that are important to voters, the economy, immigration, crime, those types of things. Not that when Trump was president, they were at zero, okay? Not that the economy was the best ever in the history of America when Trump was president. Not that not one single person tried to cross the border when Trump was president. Not that there was absolutely no crime when Trump was president. Okay, I'm not even saying that. People still got murdered. Things still got stolen. Shit still happened. Now, I will also say a lot of that situations, if you look at the Summer of Love and those types of things and the situation in St. Louis and the situation here and there, wasn't – a lot of that didn't really have to do with Trump per se, more so than the city itself that it happened in. The police officers, whatever you want to call it, which also were blue cities. The economy was a lot better than it is now. Inflation ran around, I think the average for the 3 years was just over 1% inflation, which is good. Now, granted, you would like to see zero or a negative inflation. That means you're actually making money. But if it is at a little over 1% inflation rate, what that means to most Americans is if you work a job and every year you get a pay raise. Okay. So generally every year you get, you know, most people get like a 3 to 5% on average pay raise. Now, whether you're making $20,000 a year, $50,000 a year, or $100,000 a year, you know, if you 4 or 5%, that's, I mean, it's not great. If you're making 20 grand a year, that's nothing. 5%, if you got a 5% raise, you're talking what? $1,000. Ooh, I'm making 21 now. Break that up into 52 weeks, it's, you know, like a nickel. But it's still at least the 5% pay raise is better than the 1% of increase in inflation. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas under dipshit's presidency, the average inflation rate's been 7%. So if your pay raise is anywhere from 3 to 5%, if you're fortunate enough to get, say, a 5%, well, you're still 2% under the average inflation. And for two of those 3 years, inflation was 8 and 9% for most of the time. So, which means you're losing money, which means, okay, I got a 5% pay raise, but I'm paying 9% more at the grocery store. Where's your money? You're still spending more than you're making, right? So we can use that as a contrast. We know under Trump's presidency that things were pretty good. We know under Biden's presidency that things are pretty bad. Now, fortunately for some of us, you know, things may be not as bad as for other people, depending on what kind of job you have and what kind of work you do, you might be doing okay. Things are still more expensive because it's inflation hits all of us. But you might still be able to keep the lights on. You haven't lost your house or your vehicles. But there are a lot of people that aren't as fortunate. There are a lot of people that have rented, that rent, and let's say 3 or 4 years ago, let's say they had a nice apartment. They had a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment. It was nice, you know, and at the time in Florida, you could get a decent apartment. You know, you get a decent 2 bedroom apartment for under $1,000 a month. I mean, depending on where you live in Florida. But now those apartments are $15,000 to $2,000. And that's in like the area of Florida that I live in that isn't overly populated. I mean, I think all of Florida is getting kind of overly populated, but I don't live in like Tampa, Orlando, or Miami or something like that where it's the city. So you got to understand, you have people that live in apartments that have that rent that unfortunately might work a minimum wage job, which isn't minimum wage anymore. They're probably making 10 or so bucks an hour. I don't know. I think minimum wage in Florida is 8-something an hour. But still, they might have been squeezing by if the husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever, was making 10, 15 bucks each an hour. They might be squeaking by paying that $1,000 rent. Now it's a $1,500 or a $1,700 rent. And groceries are more expensive. And gas is more expensive. And this is more expensive. And that is more expensive. So you have to pick and choose. Well, am I going to run up the credit cards? Am I not going to pay rent? Am I not going to pay the car payment? You know? So where do these things fix themselves? Now, before I get into some of the clips I want to play, I want to say one other thing. Live from New York. No. The thing that really bugs me about all of this is you have a president who is out of touch. And the thing that kills me or that makes me curious is Trump. Okay. He has to know, or he has to feel, I guess. I don't think he can possibly know this. But he has to feel in his heart of hearts that he can actually fix this problem. Because I'll tell you right now, I'm voting for Trump. Okay, there's no question about it. I don't care who knows it. That's that. But I don't want to hear, if Trump wins, I don't want to hear at any point in time him bitch and complain about what he inherited from Biden. You know what you're getting into, okay? Much like for 3+ years, all we've heard from Biden is how fucked up Trump left the situation. And to the fact where now he's blaming him for the border, which makes no sense, but whatever. You have to know, if you're Trump, you have to know within your heart of hearts that you're going to walk in here and be able to fix things. Not that you're going to try and fix things, that you're going to fix things. And the reason I say that is because you're going to have a shit ton of people that are starting, they're going to criticize you from day one. And if within that first year, things aren't starting to trend better, and I'm not just talking about the border. I think, in all honesty, I think he'll fix that border situation quickly. But the funny thing is like gas. People complain about gas. I mean, I complain about gas. People complain about how the gas prices ebb and flow. Well, you had the situation 2 weeks ago, or was it last week? Whatever, in Baltimore with the bridge. Next day, gas jumped, at least where I'm at. I think it jumped like 50 cents. It's like, what the fuck? How did gas jump 50 cents? And my wife was like, oh, I was watching the news, and they said it was because of that ship hitting the bridge. And I'm like, Baltimore's not even a major port for gasoline. You know, not to say they don't get any gasoline in that port, but I live in Florida. We have gas delivered to Florida, to Tampa and Miami and Jacksonville. That up there should have no effect on our gas prices. But the thing about that is gas, the reason your gas can go up and down on a daily basis is because of the stock market. It has nothing to do. Like, if you live by a gas station or whatever, wherever you go and get gas, they might get a gas delivery, say, on Monday. And let's say gas is $3.15, okay? They just got gas. They just put it in the ground. It's here for the pumps. It's $3.15. Well, tomorrow, now gas is $3.65. It's the same gas that was in there yesterday at $3.15. It's not a new batch. It's the same shit. They didn't go through that fast. So that's how, because the futures says, oh, well, you know, there was a bridge, you know, ship crashed in a bridge, the port's going to be closed, it's going to fuck up the fuel situation, so we're going to trend that gas goes high. That's how that works. And the same thing will happen if Trump wins, okay? I would even venture the guess that after the election, if Trump wins and it's a clean, there's no question, there's no argument, Trump wins, it's a done deal. I would be willing to bet within that week, you'll see gas prices drop drastically. And why do I say that? Because I don't know shit and I'm just guessing. No. Because he's already said that on day one, drill baby drill, right? I'm going to do this. So the oil companies, the futures, the traders, the sellers, they're going to know what's going to happen. And even if they don't fall drastically, they won't rise much at all. They'll probably stay even, but they'll steadily trend down. And then come January 20th, the day he's sworn in, you'll see gas drop under $3. I guarantee you it drops under $3 after he's elected, especially after he's sworn in. That will help because a lot of your inflation, especially on goods, is based around fuel consumption, because everything you buy, whether it's at Walmart, your grocery store, your local drugstore, Walgreens, whatever, Target, is delivered by a truck that uses gas. So theoretically, even if the prices don't necessarily drop, because it's not like manufacturers to drop their prices, you'll probably start seeing better deals at stores. Okay? So, now, this is how disillusioned this character in the White House is. Now, he was Sunday on the Trans Visibility Day, better known as Easter. Al Roker, you know, the hard-hitting news journalist that he is, was interviewing Joe Biden on the economy and other things, but this is what he had to say.
When people are saying, you know, but Mr. President, I'm feeling, my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We've got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained. We have people who just, but people, look, I think we're going to find out that what happened is a consequence of the crisis we had in health.
Can you shut the bird up? Can we shut the bird? Can someone shoot the bird?
We just got to get people to move again. We're ready. I mean, I think the country's ready to come together in a way that I've never, I mean that sincerely. I'm truly optimistic.
He's a fucking moron. And that bird was loud as fuck. I'm sorry. I don't know how loud it'll come out on this situation, but that motherfucker, I would have shot that bitch. Anyway, this country is not coming together. It's probably more divided than it has ever been. The economy he might not be lying in the fact that it might be the best in the world. Might be, I don't know. I didn't really dig into the world's economy because this is Don't Tread on America, not Don't Tread on the World. So no offense to the people listening to this outside of this country, but I'm more worried about my economy than y'all's. But for him to say that it's so great and everything's great, you're out of touch. You don't have a clue. And, you know, Al Roker's not going to ask anything harder than he already did. But then this is on CNN, of all networks, this is one of the polls they did, and this is what they had to say about the economy.
And the economy, always an important factor. Well, this is a trouble sign for the Biden campaign, because across the seven states in this Wall Street Journal poll, only 36% say that the strength of the economy is excellent or good. 63%, nearly two-thirds of Americans in these seven decisive states, say not so good or poor. And the economy.
Oh. So what makes you think that if two-thirds of the people polled in those seven swings, you know, those are what you call your swing states, your, they could go either way. If two-thirds of those people, and I think at this point you have to sit there and look. If you're old enough to vote, and you're old, and if you're in your 30s, if you're in your late 20s to early 30s or older, okay, and you were an adult that worked under Trump, that you worked, not under Trump, but you know what I'm saying, you worked in the workplace and Trump was president, whether you voted for him or you didn't vote for him, doesn't matter. Whether you're white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care that you didn't vote for him, that you voted for him. It doesn't matter. There are plenty of people, especially ethnic people, whether they're black or Hispanic or Asian, but they're American citizens that in 2016 probably was, you know, high on Hillary, even though she talks down to especially black people. If you guys recall, I think it was she was on the Breakfast Club or whatever, and she talking about she has hot sauce in her purse. Fuck, I'd have been, if I was there, God forbid any of these motherfuckers want to do want come on my show and give me that bullshit. I got hot sauce in my purse. Let me see it. Your purse is right there. Grab that shit. What brand are you using? But they don't do that shit. And you're going to allow a white old lady to sit there and make it sound like you guys, the black people, like you walk around with fucking hot sauce in your purse or your back pocket. I mean, how fucking stupid is that? To even, and even Biden did the same fucking thing. When he, if you ain't black, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. I mean, but you allow that to happen. When is a black host of some sort, whether it's radio, TV, whatever, when is that person going to step up and say, I'm calling bullshit on your situation? To the fact where a lot of these individuals are calling bullshit on the situation. They're not calling bullshit to these guys' face because for whatever reason, they want to still play the game, but they are losing the black vote, and I'll get to that in a second. But when if you're an American in this country of average means, no matter what color you are, no matter whether you voted for Bush, no matter whether you voted for Trump, Biden, Hillary, whoever, you've got to admit, under the time that Trump was president, things weren't so bad financially. You might could not stand them, but your 401ks were better. If you do that, stocks were better. I mean, even though technically the stock market isn't terrible right now for some reason, I haven't quite been able to put my finger on that, but your 401ks aren't doing that well, which is weird because a lot of that's tied to the stock market, but I'm not a financial guru, so we're not going to get into that. I'm just a regular dude that can see when my 401k does funky things. And under Trump, the funkiest thing it did was kept going up. Under Biden, it looks like it's doing the fucking centipede or something. And I'm not ready to retire necessarily, but I'm not the youngest person on this face of the earth either. So, when you have two-thirds of these particular states, people saying that the economy is not so good to poor, that means they're not just saying that. They're not just saying that it's bad. They're saying it's bad because they can feel that it's bad. Not because of what they saw on CNN or Fox or whoever. It's because they go to the grocery store and they might spend $100 and they're walking out with like three bags worth of shit. Not that when Trump was president, you walked out with a shopping cart full, but I guarantee you walked out with more than three fucking bags. And I'm using my own shopping trends to tell you that. So the 36% that say it's excellent or good are probably, chances are, either staunch Biden supporters that won't say anything bad, or they have no issues financially, period. If peanut butter is $2 or if it's $5, whatever, we want peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? But there are some people that go to the grocery store and might want peanut butter and say, God damn, peanut butter. Man, and I say $5. I think peanut butter is actually like $7. And me and my wife love fucking peanut butter. Like, I put in my protein shakes and stuff like that. It's good stuff. But you know when I buy peanut butter? When it's BOGO. Like, I shop at Publix. Publix is a big thing in Florida. And they do BOGOs. And the only time I buy peanut butter is when I don't give a fuck how much I love peanut butter. And we could be out of it forever. If it's not BOGO, I ain't buying it. Because it's like $7 for, you know, a jar of peanut butter. It's like, what the fuck? You know, but there's some people who be like, I want peanut butter, I don't care, $7, whatever. You know, I wish I could be that person. I'm not. But how the, you know what, I'm gonna move this clip to after this. We're going to go to this clip. All right. So now this was on Fox. I think this was today. Yeah. And, you know, if you guys watch Fox or whatever, if you don't, that's fine. But on, they have, you know, Fox and Friends in the morning. They've added Lawrence Jones to their, you know, to their stage. You have Kilmeade, Ainsley, and Ducey. And you've got, now you have Lawrence Jones, which is, he's fine. He's a nice guy. He seems to be a nice guy. And he, I think it's interesting to have someone like him on because he's a younger guy. I think he's 20. He's under 30. And black. And I think you get his perspective. He's from Texas. You get his perspective of things versus, you know, two old white guys and a blonde chick. You know, this is, gives you a different perspective. And this is what he had to say about the black community in those same battleground or swing states.
When you hear those statistics, Barack Obama got what, 99%, you said, of the black vote?
Well, I mean, in 2020, Joe Biden. Those numbers, Joe Biden got that 91.
And then what is it now, 68?
Yep.
68%.
Well, I think it's two issues. It's the economy, which black folks flourish under the Donald Trump economy. Personality aside, people care about the money. The number two, and we've done a lot of coverage on this, is what's happening with the migrants. American citizens, forget black America, American citizens don't like outsiders being able to come into the country illegally and get benefits when they're struggling. And I just think it's a bad message. Also, the religious stuff as well, Ainsley. Yeah. When you got the president with the, I don't know, the pro-trans message, whatever you want to call it, on Easter Sunday. I mean, how are you going to go to a black church now after you did something like this, when you just bashed the number one holiday for the believers there? I don't understand how any pastor can stand next to him in a traditional Christian church after he does
it. He didn't know he did it.
Right.
He said, he signed it. That auto pen must have been working.
So, and that's interesting. So my question would be to any black pastor out there, that would you even want to invite Joe Biden to your church? Would you, if one of his team from his reelection campaign reached out to you, hey, you know, Reverend such and such from the whatever church in whatever town, we're going to be in town doing a rally. Would you mind if Joe Biden would stop by and talk to the congregation? There's only two answers there. There is no, fuck him. I guess if you're a reverend, you probably, I'm a reverend, I say it, but you know. Or you say, yeah. And then when he gets there, you ask the tough questions instead of being a punk and letting this guy stand in front of your congregation and talk all that noise about being holier than thou and that he's Catholic and that he's all this stuff, but yet he's pro-choice and he's all about the trans movement on Easter Sunday. Which, I've said this, and I said this on the show that I did for Easter. If you haven't listened to it, please don't let the description of the show fool you. It was a good show. But one of the things I brought up is, if you believe in God, okay, and you believe in Christianity, and it doesn't matter if you're Catholic, if you're Christian, if you're Baptist, if you're Methodist, the basic idea is all the same. And the one thing I said is, There's a lot of things you can do that are bad. There's a lot of things you can do that are sins. And I'm throwing up the quotation marks because sins are forgivable. Okay? You know, God sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. Okay? So, you can murder somebody. There's going to be consequences to your sins. Don't get me wrong. Because I'm saying you can murder somebody, and because you ask for forgiveness, you're going to get off scot-free. You're going to go to jail. You might get the chair or whatever they do nowadays. You might get the gas chamber. That aside from itself, you can ask for forgiveness. Dear Lord, I beg you of my, from my sins and forgiveness and so on and so forth. And you will be absolved in the eyes of God. And to me, that's one of the worst things you can do, obviously, is to kill somebody intentionally. Other things, other sins, gluttony and greed and all those other things that you can do, and you ask forgiveness. If you pray to God on a daily basis, I do, that you it helps you, okay? The one sin, in my opinion, that is unforgivable is transvestitism. Is that, if that's a word, I don't know. I just made it up. But when you are a man changing to a woman or a woman changing to a man, and I'm not talking about dress up. I'm not talking about I'm a woman and I'm going to dress like a dude because I want to be Steve instead of Stevie. Or I'm a dude that wants to dress up like a chick because I'm James, but I want to be Jennifer or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your dude. You get your junk cut off. You get a banana split, right? You get some titties put in. You get, you take what's an estrogen and you get hair laser treatments and all this stuff. So you can't grow a, beard. You don't have to shave every day. When you do that, you have changed your body in the eyes of God, which, if you know anything about a little bit, it's one of the reasons of the big flood. Not necessarily transvestitism, but changing God's creations. So I personally believe that if you dabble in that situation, and even if you've seen situations now where some of these individuals come out and say, I regret my decisions. I wish I would have never done that. I should have never done that. Now I want to be a woman again. I want to have babies. Da, da, da. You've already done it. I don't know that even if you try to reverse it, it's fixable in the eyes of God. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But how you as a pastor, a reverend, preacher man of some sort, how could you ever have this person in your church again talking to your congregation? It's unacceptable. Now, on to other things here. What did I want to talk about next? Okay, so now, when we talk about the economy, and we, what was his big slogan when he was running in 2020, right? Build back better, right? And thus, the title, I think, that's going to be of the show. I hope it's not too wordy, but build back better. Nothing has been built, and nothing is better. So, this is what we get as a nation when we talk about build back better. Now, I'm going to name a crap load of stores and businesses, and I'm not going to go through every reason why they closed, but a lot of these have to do with Biden's policies. A lot of these have to do with the cities that they were in policies, like San Francisco or Chicago or whatever, whether it be crime, shoplifting, those types of things, but still ultimately falls under the eye of the president of the United States. So, who, in your opinion, who is probably the biggest retailer? Like, for you to go to a store on a daily basis, once a week, however often you go to a store. Now, a lot of people use Amazon. I get it. But when you go to get toilet paper and deodorant and those types of things, where do you go? Most of us are probably saying right now Walmart. You might be saying Target. You might be saying Walgreens. Okay? But this, during the past couple of years, Walmart has closed 23 stores throughout the country. Doesn't seem like a lot. It's Walmart. When have you ever gone to a Walmart? Wherever you live, you go to Walmart and it's always busy. Am I wrong? But yet they've closed 23 stores and they're closing more. Okay. Target is closing 9 stores this coming year. Walgreens, over the past couple of years into this year, has and is closing up to 900 stores. 900 stores. There's Walgreens everywhere you fucking look. Bed Bath & Beyond has gone bankrupt, closing 360 stores. Lowe's has closed 50 stores. Macy's, on its way out, has closed 150 stores. Starbucks, closing 61 stores. Home Depot, 15 stores. Dollar Tree, which is also, they own Family Dollar, they announced just a couple weeks ago that they're closing 1,000 stores this year. 1,000 stores. Family Dollar, I think just about every town you go to, at least around here in the South, I don't know about out west and in the north, but I know in like Kentucky and Tennessee and Georgia and Florida, the states I most visit, there's a Family Dollar everywhere. Some are Family Dollar / Dollar Trees. And 1,000 stores. You might not see that in your town, but you very well may. Foot Locker's closing 400 stores. Gap is closing 350. Now, I would assume a lot of that has to do with the failure of malls in general, because a lot of people buy stuff online. I would assume Foot Locker will still have a online presence, same with Gap. The problem isn't the company per se, and it's not about Walmart. It's not Walmart's going out of business, closing 23 stores. It's about those 23 stores. Because most cities have one Walmart. Now, some have two, some have more. I get that. But it's your average Walmart has anywhere from 300 to 500 employees, maybe more. That's 300 to 500 people that have lost a job. You understand what that means now? Foot Locker, okay, it might be because of the online presence, malls fading, blah, 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 whatever. That's 400 stores. I don't know how many people are employed at an average Foot Locker, but let's assume it's 10. And that might be low, but that's people losing jobs. Everything I'm talking about, where I'm talking about a store is closing, is not only that that company is losing money, it's that people that work in these stores are no longer employed. And that's what you, and for him to sit here and say, oh, the employment gap in the jobs are better and there's more jobs and the unemployment, you know, blah, blah. It's not what you think it is. It's not that out of the 330 some odd million people that live in this country and the 200 whatever million that are eligible to work are working. It's that a lot of those people are working, but they're working 2 and 3 jobs. So your numbers on paper look good. But the one thing they're not talking about, and I don't know that there's any way to find this out, but the one thing they're not discussing is how many of those people that already work a job work a second job or a third job. And just because they might be employed, they might only be working 30 hours at their main job, and they have to work another job that, you know, they're working another 20 or so hours at the second job just so they can get a full-time paycheck. So I think those numbers are skewed a little bit. Big Lots, closing in California and Colorado. Burger King is closing 400 stores. Best Buy is closing 20. Boston Market is closing 27. Kmart was Walmart's biggest rival back in the 80s. Do you know how many stores Kmart has left in the whole country? Two stores. Sears closed all but 22 stores. When I was a kid, it was Sears. You go to the mall, Sears. We're going to Sears. All but 22 stores left. Regal Cinemas has closed 429 theaters. Kroger Grocery Chains, not big in Florida at all, has closed 413 stores. U.S. Bank is closing 23 branches. Wells Fargo is closing 60. Capital One is closing 50. And Bank of America is closing 20. So where is this great economy? These aren't things that have closed in the past 10 years. These are things that have closed in the past 2 years and moving forward. The like Dollar Tree, the 1,000 stores, they haven't closed yet. They're closing this year. They announced it last month. I read about it. Pick up a paper. But here's the thing. One of the biggest issues that we have, and I'll play this clip, maybe. I'll play this clip. No, that's not it. I'll pay it. It's right here. It's here. I got it. So we're going to play this.
Dean Dr. Joao Gomez recently warned lawmakers the unsustainable debt could be catastrophic for the country.
Its consequences will be severe and leave lasting and probably irreversible scars on our economy and society.
Gomez's warnings included the potential for a recession, a spike in interest rates as the value of the dollar plummets, and further inflation pain affecting all corners of the country. Bloomberg Economics released the results of 1 million simulations on the debt outlook. 88% of them showed the U.S. on an unsustainable path. Vice Dean.
So, this is a person that has no political affiliation, Wharton School of Business, saying that moving forward, we're in trouble. Now, and this is why I bring up the whole Trump thing from earlier is, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to come in without, for the first year or so, blaming Biden the whole time, the previous administration? Because you're inheriting a shit show, which I want to believe in my heart of hearts that he has a plan to fix this. I don't know how, in all honesty, I don't. But where our problems lie in this country, and this could be one of the things that Trump will do to fix things somewhat quickly, is Biden's spending. Now, Biden will sit here and tell you that he's lowered the national debt and he's done all this stuff, when in actuality, the debt calculator, whatever it is about to hit $36 trillion. And people wanted to blame Trump for the big jump in that, when in all actuality, the biggest reason for that was COVID. But granted, Trump was president, still responsible. He should have not listened to the people he listened to. I understand. But this here has nothing to do with anything other than Biden's ignorance. So, you know, he new year, new tax, or new budget proposals, right? So Biden's persistent push for billions of dollars in taxpayer funding toward progressive ideology on gender and race at home is abroad and is under fire. Since Biden took office, the federal government has doled out huge sums to prop up diversity, equity, inclusion programs and LGBTQ projects in the USA and around the globe. Biden's budget proposal earlier this month drew attention for its many proposed tax increases and $7.3 trillion in proposed spending. $7.3 trillion with a T. The White House announced the budget includes $3 billion to advance gender equality and equality worldwide. A request that's several hundred million more than last year's budget. On top of that, the budget provides hundreds of millions of dollars to train the next generation of school teachers in progressive orthodoxy on race, gender, and sexuality issues. Ted Cruz blasts Biden's push for more spending on progressive gender ideology. Biden's budget is not a real budget. It is a campaign message item, Cruz told the Center Square DI, is a cornerstone of Biden's woke ideology, so it is no surprise that his budget reflects his diverse ideology. Biden's budget proposal, $5 trillion in new taxes to fund these worthless woke programs, despite Biden's gaslighting of the State of the Union, Americans know that our country, that our economy is in trouble. So, in my opinion, and I'm going to get into all that tax stuff here. But I think that's what's going to make Trump look like a hero. Now, granted, there's going to be some people that are pissed when he goes in and says, no more DEI, no more transvestite bullshit, no more wokeism. All that shit is gone. We're not funding it anymore. We're not funding billions and hundreds of billions of dollars towards bullshit programs, which I talked about on the show the other day. 335 million people in this country, 7% identify, not transvestite-wise, but identify in the LGBTQ whatever situation. So I talked about this on the Easter show. So of the 20-some-odd million people that feel this way, you alienate the 81% that celebrated Easter. So, of the 93% of people that aren't LGBTQ whatever, that have to pay more taxes for these stupid programs. Now, mind you, some of those people are fucking morons, and they'll still be like, oh, Biden's the best, and we need to have DEI, we need to have equality. Yeah, because things have been so bad for everybody. And that's what I think Trump comes in. He says, no more DEI programs. You know, if you're a company and you want to do this on your own, so be it. We're not funding it. We're not funding this stuff in schools. We're not funding this stuff in colleges. We're not going to fund this stuff. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. Well, that right there will save this country hundreds of billions of dollars, probably trillions of dollars, not to mention the fact that it will affect the tax rate. Like, if taxes go up, if it's a $5 trillion tax hike, well, and you don't need $5 trillion for the bullshit programs, guess what? Taxes don't go up. So Biden has pitched an array of tax hikes targeting corporations and wealthy Americans, but the steeper levies could weigh on already fragile U.S. economy. Findings from the Tax Foundation, a group that advocates for lower taxes, found that higher taxes laid out in Biden's sweeping budget blueprint for the federal spending fiscal 2025 would reduce economic output by 2.2%, in the long run slashing wages by 1.6%. and kill about 788,000 full-time jobs. So where's the growth, Joe? Where's your great unemployment numbers, Joe? Inflation's still up, Joe. But now we're going to lose another 2% on our wages? The policies outlined in the plan would make the tax code more complicated, unstable, and anti-growth while... the fuck? Why did this move? God bless it. Unstable anti-growth while also expanding the amount of spending in the tax code for a variety of policy goals not related to revenue collection. As a part of the proposal, Biden called for a 25% minimum tax rate on households worth more than $100 million. Raising the capital gains tax rate, quadrupling the corporate stock buyback to 4%, raising the corporate tax rate to 28%, increasing Medicare tax paid by wealthy Americans, implementing a global minimum tax on multinational corporations, and closing the carried interest loophole used by private equity and hedge fund managers. Here's the thing. When you attack corporations, when you attack situations like this, what do you do? What do those corporations do? Okay, I used to be a manager for Walmart. It was a long time ago. Nothing's really changed. When the profits are not there, not that the sales aren't there, but profits. Now, unfortunately for these companies, payroll is anti-profit. Okay? So if you can cut payroll, you'll make what? More profit. Okay? More with less. If you raise these big corporations' tax, minimum tax rates and stuff like that, capital gains, they're going to lay off people. And if they don't lay them off, they're going to cut their hours. Joe, this is what you get when you have someone that's never ran a business and they don't understand business, trying to make business decisions. Once again, hopefully something that Trump will be able to fix quickly. And I say quickly for his sake, because mind you, it's not like he's got to run for a second term. This is it. He's either going to make it or break it, and that's that. But like I said at the beginning, we have a track record. We can say we know what Trump did his 4 years. We know what Biden did his 4 years. Who are you going to vote for? Period. That just needs to be it. I don't give a shit who you like. You can love Biden all day long, but you got to look at the shit on paper. Okay? Quit believing the bullshit you think you see about January 6th and whatever else Trump did or didn't say. So I got two things I want to finish out with real quick. If you live in California, you're fucked. California, this on April 1st, April Fool's Day, oddly enough, raised the minimum wage for fast food workers $20 an hour. Not going to spend all day with this because you have already heard it. But Pizza Hut has laid off 1,200 workers. Mod's Pizza has closed 5 of their California branches. Foster Free shut down and laid off all their employees. Vitality Bowls cut their staff in half and hiked their menu prices by 10%. And on top of that, menu prices at every single restaurant in the whole state are rising to cover the cost of the $20 an hour. So that's what you get in Biden's America. So in closing, I want to do one thing because I've been a real angry person lately. And this struck me today while I was driving.
Get off my lawn, damn kids.
Okay. Is it me? Can it be me? Could it possibly just be me? But has this country, and I don't know how it is in your country or whatever. Maybe it's just Florida. I don't know. But when you're driving down the road, do you think that anyone else around you driving just feels like they're the only ones on the road? That you do not matter to them? People pull out in front of you. Speed limit's 45. I'm doing 45. Car pulls out in front of me. They're doing 25. Now, you were in such a hurry that you had to pull out in front of me that you're only going to do 25. And then... You don't know where the fuck you're going, you know, so let's continue to drive slow. But then more importantly, let's stop, you know, let's stop in the middle of the road because I don't know where I want to turn. Do I want to turn here? Damn it, I was trying to find that spot. Oops. You know, no turn signal, no nothing. No, so much for that idea. But something I should have thought about earlier, Don. Anyway, and then they creep because they know they got to turn. They're creeping. Oh, yeah, I do need to turn here. Here's the thing, motherfucker. You could have done that after I passed you. You didn't have to pull out in front of me to do that. And this isn't the first time. It's like, am I fucking invisible? Did I hit the invisible cloak? Now, when I was a kid, okay, they used to have a video game at the arcades, right? It's called Spy Hunter. You remember that game? The best game ever. You remember being able to drive, driving on the game, Spy Hunter, right? I was trying to find that music, but I couldn't. So you get to enjoy the soothing tones of the PCGC. And what did you get to do with the car in front of you? Right? You got a shot to shoot the fuck out of him. You know, and if you're real good at Spy Hunter, you got missiles. You can shoot the fucking helicopter and shit, right? You remember that? Badass game, right? Badass game. Lord, how I long for the days to be able to put the Spy Hunter guns on my car and just start fucking mowing people down when they pull out in front of me. Tell me you don't feel the same way. Tell me you don't feel the same way. And if you don't feel the same way, or if you do feel the same way, you could find me, email me, Don Q at Don't Tread on America. We talk about it. Go to the website, don'ttreadonamerica.com. And don't forget, like I said, follow us on social media at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. And on the Twitter X machine at DTom_1775. Guys, don't forget about, come on, man. Come on, DTom store. Let's go. Check it out. And don't forget about our newer sponsor, Reaper Apparel Company. Check them out at ReaperApparelCo.com. Use promo code DTOM. Get 10% off. Cool shirts, hoodies, hats. They got all sorts of stuff. They got tank tops in. It's summertime. So go check them out. ReaperApparelCo.com. All right, guys. You guys have a fantastic rest of your Thursday. And I will talk to you again on Sunday. We'll call that Eclipse Eve. Because I got something on that, too. You guys have a great day. And I'll talk to you then. Peace. Oh, real quick, hats. You guys been seeing me wearing these different hats? These are all minor league. I go to different minor league stadiums when I go on vacation. Daytona, Tortugas. I wear a different one every day. You guys have a great day. And if you want to see it, check us out on Rumble TV at Don't Tread on America TV. Follow the show. Peace. You guys have a great day.